Master. But there are other voices, said Brother Numrod, and now his voice had a slight tremolo. Beguiling and wheedling and persuasive voices, yes. Voices that are always waiting to catch us off our guard.
Brother relaxed. This was more familiar ground. All the novices knew about those kind of voices. Except that usually they talked about fairly straightforward things, like the pleasures of nighttime manipulation and the general desirability of girls, which showed that they were novices when it came to voices. Brother Numrod got the kind of voices that were, by comparison, a full oratorio. Some of the bolder novices liked to get Brother Numrod talking on the subject of voices. He was an education, they said, especially when little bits of white spit appeared at the corners of his mouth. Brother listened. Brother Numrod was the novice master, but he wasn't the novice master. He was only master of the group that included Brother. There were others. Possibly someone in the Citadel knew how many there were. There was someone somewhere whose job it was to know everything. The Citadel occupied the whole of the heart of the city of Qom, in the lands between the deserts of Klatch and the plains and jungles of Hwandaland. It extended for miles, its temples, churches, schools, dormitories, gardens and towers, growing into and around one another in a way that suggested a million termites all trying to build their mounds at the same time. When the sun rose, the reflection of the doors of the central temple blazed like fire. They were bronze and 100 feet tall. On them, in letters of gold set in lead, were the commandments. There were 512 so far, and doubtless the next prophet would add his share. The sun's reflected glow shone down and across the tens of thousands of the strong in faith, who laboured below for the greater glory of the great god Om. Probably no one did know how many of them there were. Some things have a way of going critical. Certainly there was only one Cenobiarch, the superior Iam. That was certain. And 6 archpriests, and 30 lesser Iams, and hundreds of bishops, deacons, subdeacons and priests, and novices like rats in a grain store, and craftsmen, and bull breeders, and torturers, and vestigial virgins. No matter what your skills, there was a place for you in the Citadel. And if your skill lay in asking the wrong kind of questions, or losing the righteous kind of wars, the place might just be the furnaces of purity, or the quisitions pits of justice. A place for everyone, and everyone in their place. The sun beat down on the temple garden. The great god Om tried to stay in the shade of a melon vine. He was probably safe here inside these walls and with the prayer towers all around, but you couldn't be too careful. He'd been lucky once, but it was asking too much to expect to be lucky again. The trouble with being a god is that you've got no one to pray to. He crawled forward purposefully towards the old man shoveling muck, until, after much exertion, he judged himself to be within earshot. He spake thusly.
Hey, you.
There was no answer. There was not even any suggestion that anything had been heard. Om lost his temper and turned Lu Tse into a lowly worm in the deepest cesspit of hell, and then got even more angry when the old man went on peacefully shoveling.
The devils of infinity fill your living bones with sulphur.
He screamed. This did not make a great deal of difference.
Deaf old bugger,
muttered the great god Om. Or perhaps there was someone who did know all there was to be known about the Citadel. There's always someone who collects knowledge, not because of a love of the stuff, but in the same way that a magpie collects glitter, or a caddis fly collects little bits of twigs and rock. And there's always someone who has to do all those things that need to be done, but which other people would rather not do, or even acknowledge existed. The third thing the people noticed about Vorbis was his height. He was well over 6 feet tall, but stick-thin, like a normal proportioned person modelled in clay by a child, and then rolled out. The second thing that people noticed about Vorbis was his eyes. His ancestors had come from one of the deep desert tribes that had evolved the peculiar trait of having dark eyes, not just dark of pupil, but almost black of eyeball. It made it very hard to tell where he was looking. It was as if he had sunglasses on under his skin. But the first thing they noticed